Dear Lord, we are here today in the presence of you to bring you glory because all we have and all we ever hope to be is so intrinsically tied to you and to your will and to your glory. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning with these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to come and worship you. Lord, we do not need to ask for your presence here this morning because we know where there are two or more, there you are. You are always with us, and we are not alone. And this morning, we want to bring you praise and glory and honor. Today, Lord, as we seek to know you better, help us to set aside anything that is vying for our attention in these moments and direct our attention fully to you and to your word. Father, for our children in the nursery, let them come to you early and to know you well through the love of the people ministering to them at this early age, Lord. And for our children downstairs in Children's Church, Father, help them to know you truly as their Lord and Savior and have a lifelong relationship with you that will be abiding and obedient and bring you glory and honor through everything that they do. Lord, we want to know you better, and I pray that in these moments you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds, and that you would help us to see you more clearly, to know you better, to know your will without question, and to be obedient and loving and true to you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you do in our lives, Lord, and we ask that you would bless this time for us. Help us to be your true people, Lord, and thank you that we are heirs to your kingdom. We ask these things in your name. Amen. I feel really odd sitting on this side of the church. At 9 o'clock, it's full, and like at 11 o'clock, it's like, do I smell bad? I'm not quite sure. It's like opposite sides during, you know, 11 o'clock's over here, 9 o'clock's over there. I'm not really sure. Ooh, I have sound, and I'm upside down. All right. So today, we're going to be looking at Galatians 4, and we're looking at verses 4 through 7. And as soon as I find where I'm at, I will be able to do what I'm supposed to do. Move the drink stand. I need it. There we go. Can't preach without my water. So in the last couple of weeks, we have been doing VBS for adults. And it's all based on the themes of our Vacation Bible School, which we just completed a few weeks ago. So the first week we looked at in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what we learned from that very first message that Pastor John preached was that God creates, he organizes, and he trusts us with his creation. And then in the next week, last week, we looked at how God is still in charge, okay? We learned that disobedience is discipline, that there's natural law, and that righteousness is rewarded. And the takeaway that I got from that message was, if you sin, bad things will happen. Pretty simplistic, but absolutely necessary. And that was my takeaway. And we need to be reminded of that. If you sin, bad things will happen. Hello. We all need that reminder once in a while. But as simplistic as this seems, it really isn't completely simplistic. We think of Sunday school answers, God and Jesus, and this is evil and this is not. And to some degree, it is that. But there is so much more to what we're looking at, okay? It is the story of all of creation, and we get the privilege of taking part in this amazing story. You look really excited about it. We get to take part in this really amazing story. Little old us in our little old lives in this little town, in this little church. Us right here are taking a part in God's great story. And I think this is really exciting. I know it's not sounding riveting out here and everyone on that side's busy. And come on, guys, wake up. Get with me, okay? In the middle of this amazing story that God has done from the beginning of time, everyone has a part. Okay, God has a part. Jesus has a part in this story, and we have a part of this story. We are a story within the story, okay? The story of our lives and coming to Christ is completely possible because God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus. I stand here now and share with you because God sent Jesus. You sit here now and you listen and you try to learn more about God's word because God sent Jesus. And we have the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of our loved ones, our family members, the people we work with, and even complete strangers because God sent Jesus. We have that opportunity. When we look at our scripture today, we're going to find out a little bit about how God uses time, how he does it, when he does this, and why he does this. So if you look at Galatians 4:4-7, we're going to see what we have to say here. The author is Paul, and he's helping the Galatian people to understand justification through faith. And if you remember, Pastor John always preaches, justification is just as if I didn't do it. He takes away your sins. Justification by faith. And the people in Galatians, they were trying to earn their salvation. They were working hard and not truly trusting in the faith that God will save them from their sins if they truly believe in him. And so Paul was working with that. You cannot earn your relationship with Christ. You have to believe in him. So this is what it says, starting with verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. Let's pray. Lord, help us today to know you more fully, to realize that we are your sons and your daughters, and that we are not only just here, but we are heirs to your kingdom, and that you love us that much, that you have made this possible. Open our hearts and minds, Lord. Help us to know you the way you want us to know you, and help us to be changed and different, Lord. Let your words be heard and not mine, and let a difference be made for your kingdom. We ask these things in your name. Amen. The first one, point number one, when God sent his son. Yes, when God sent his son. Notice in the passage it says God sent Jesus at the set time, when the set time had fully come. Well, what is the set time? That begs the question, what is the set time? Well, in the book of Matthew, it says in 2:1 that it was during the reign of King Herod. Well, it doesn't really tell us a whole lot. It just happened to be during the reign of King Herod. It could have been any time. But that apparently was the set time. But only God knew when the set time was, when it had fully come. And God has a set time. So this tells us a little bit about God. It tells us that he is working on a timetable, that he has a plan. We saw that in week one when Pastor John talked about in the beginning that God had a plan and he was working on a timetable. For 6 days he created, on the seventh day he rested. He did it in that space of time. That was the time he used to create. He had a plan and he worked in that specific order to create the universe, okay? And he still has a plan even though the creation has already been created, okay? He is still working on his timetable. He's still working and as we live in the middle of this story, heading to yet more of the fullness of time when Jesus comes again. Let me give you some examples of Jesus' timeline, okay? In John 2:4, it says, and this is when Jesus was at the wedding, his first miracle at Cana of Galilee. And his mother asked him about the wine and what he could do about it. And his response was, woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. The time frame. His hour had not yet come. John 4:21, Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And again, he says, woman. Seems to be a word for him. Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. A time will come. A time will come. In John 13:1, Jesus, as he was preparing to wash the disciples' feet, it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. The time has come. I don't feel like God is truly bound by time. That's my thought. But he works with time. He works in time. He has a plan. God has an appointed time for each and every detail concerning the redemptive work of his son. He has a plan for each and every detail for the redemptive work of his son, and he still does. He hasn't stopped planning. God has a plan and an appointed time for each and every detail concerning you and God's plan of redemption in your life. He has a plan. And only God knows when the fullness of time has come. And he knows when the fullness of time has come for Jesus to return. Now, we don't know the day or the hour. We know that. We might have some guesses, and lots of people have guesses and try to guess when that is. But we don't know. Only God knows that. And it will be in the fullness of time that he has determined. That is the when, in the fullness of time. That's for God to know. That's for us to participate and wait. The next thing we need to know is how God sent his son. Okay, John 3:16, listen to this for a minute, says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." God sent his son. He sent. This is the how. We didn't ask, he sent. God was the impetus behind this saving eternal gift given to us. The Old Testament prophecy, the book of Isaiah, tells us, gives us some idea of how this is going to happen. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Unto us a child is born. A child is born, born of a woman, through the divine power of God. Jesus was born of a woman, but he was also, keep this in mind, born under the law, okay? Which meant he was subject to everything that everyone else was, even though he was divine. Jesus was born of a woman, but he was also born under ceremonial law. He needed to be presented at the temple. He needed to be circumcised. He had to go to the temple festivals. Jesus was born of a woman, but he was also born under social law, to his parents, to be obedient to them as they raised him. Remember when he stayed at the temple and they went on their way and they came back for him? "Why did you do this to us?" is what his mother asked. He was born under social law as well. He was also born under civil law. Matthew 17:24 says, "After Jesus and his disciples arrived at Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, 'Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?' And Peter responded, 'Yes, he does.'" Jesus did, and Jesus was born under moral law. Matthew 5:17 says, in Jesus' own words, it says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." The how was Jesus was born of a woman, but at the same time, he was also born under all of the rules and the regulations and the things that were meant for us, okay? I want you to think about this for a minute. I really want you to think about it, okay? God made himself subject to the law, and the law meant for us. And he kept it. Jesus experienced self-imposed humiliation and limitation to us to fulfill what God the Father sent him to do. Self-imposed. He was greater than any of this. He didn't need any of those laws. But he submitted to them. Philippians 2, 7-8 says, "Rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." God sent his son when the fullness of time had come, and God sent his son through a woman, and he became obedient to all of these aspects. He lowered himself to such a degree. He came to do his Father's will, and he did it because he loves us. Why did God send his son? Galatians 4:5 says, he sent him to redeem us, to deliver us from bondage and the curse of the law. You see, we've broken the law. We have sinned, and therefore, we deserve to be punished. But Christ came instead. And he took that punishment, and he redeemed us by offering his life as a payment for our sins. His blood was shed on the cross so that ours would not have to be. His blood was shed on the cross to keep us from eternity of hell and torture and punishment and pain. His blood was shed on the cross because of his great love for us. John 3:16, remember? "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world. And when we say God so loved the world, we're not talking about the ball that we're sitting on here rotating out in space. It's kind of like we are the church. The church is the people. The church is not the building. We call the building a church. But we are the church. God so loved the world. Yes, the world is the thing that we are sitting on, but we are who he loved so much that he gave his all for, okay? God so loved me. God so loved Carlos. God so loved Nina. God so loved Pat. He loved us, the world, so much that he sent his only son, okay? His blood was shed on the cross, not only so that we could be redeemed and our sins forgiven, but the price and penalty paid once and for all for us, but so that we could become his heirs. It says in Galatians 4:7 that we would be no longer be slaves, but we would be heirs to his kingdom. The inheritance of his kingdom, of eternal life, of glory spent with God. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this. This is why God sent Jesus. It's because of you. It's because of me. It's because of his great love for us. When I first started to discover God's great love for us, I was probably about six or seven years old, and I lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the time. I was raised Catholic. And I, on a Saturday morning, I remember it was spring, it was sunny, while all the other kids were at home eating cereal out of the box and watching cartoons, I was at Saturday morning catechism classes, religious education. And this one particular Saturday, it's very clear to me, and I can remember it, and I can close my eyes and I'm there all over again. All over again. The nun was sharing with us about what Jesus went through and how much he loved us. And I remember the nun's name. Her name was Sister Marie Antoinette. No joke, that was her name. And I can still see her. And I remember this day very clearly because where we were sitting, there was this big, huge kind of floor-to-ceiling stained glass window. And there was like blue sky, and then there was a Jesus in a red robe off to the side. And I was sitting in wooden folding chairs, you know, back in the olden days when they had wooden folding chairs. And they were kind of this golden oak color. And I remember the light coming through the stained glass window kind of bouncing off the chairs. And it was really beautiful. And the nun sister's telling us this story about what Jesus had gone through. And suddenly something just kind of clicked. Something changed in my heart. She described, and I suppose would be graphic detail for a 6 or 7 year old, about the crown of thorns that they placed on Jesus' head and how they pushed it into him and how they had taken his clothes and then how they had beaten him and whipped him. And she went on to share the nails in his wrists and his feet and legs. And I was like, oh my goodness. All of a sudden it just dawned on me, why would anyone do that for me? Why? I don't deserve that. And it's everything bad that I've done that caused this to happen. Why would someone love me that much? Why would God love any of us that much? And that day, something clicked, something changed, and something was never the same. God sent Jesus for me. God sent Jesus for the other 6 and 7 year olds sitting around me. And to this day, it is one of those thoughts where I close my eyes and I'm there and I will never forget it. And he was there in me from that point on. And I didn't truly understand the purpose of that day, but the foundation was laid and God knew what was going on in my heart that day, all those years ago when I was a little kid. And it continued to grow over time. Now, when I truly came to experience Jesus' love for me, it was through my exposure actually to the people here at North Park Wesleyan Church. My teenage rebellion, was to sneak over here after Mass on Sunday morning so I could come to church here and find out more about God. Because there was something different going on with God over here than was going on over there for me. Most of my childhood, I spent absolutely terrified of God. I was going to purgatory, and then I was going to hell, and if I didn't say enough prayers, I was totally toast. And it was absolutely terrifying, and I didn't want that, and it didn't seem like anything I could do could ever please God. And then suddenly, I started to see people who were living not in fear of God. They feared him, but not in fear. And understanding him as the loving Father he truly was. He was that man who took the thorns and the whipping and the nails, because he loved me that much. And I wanted that. I didn't have that. I believed God was there, But I wanted that deeper, more abiding relationship in Christ. That's what I wanted. And so, actually, the reason I ended up coming here is because I was dating a young man who went to church here, and he's related to the Yankees and everything, and I spent a lot of time with the Yankees and the Dyes and just so many people, the Kratzes, people who had an influence on my life and showed me the love of Jesus and how they treated me, how they lived their lives. I was watching. I could see what they were doing, and I wanted to be more like that, and what I wanted it to be, even though it was more like them, was actually more like Jesus. That's what I wanted to be. So I ended up going to a concert at Houghton College on March 13th, 1985, and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And for any of you who are really old, it was a White Hart concert, so it's really dating me. This is like, Shannon's laughing. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. I was going to bring music clips to play just so you could hear how hokey it was, but I just, no. Every once in a while, I'll go back there. I have it on my iTunes, and I'll take a listen just to remind me of that night. But anyway, this is where, that's when I truly accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and it was through the influence of the people here. And then I finally understood what it is to have and to know and to truly abide and love God. And within a year of that time, I actually felt called to ministry. It was dissuaded at that time, and I could be tempted to be upset about that because that dissuasion put me on a trajectory that I probably wouldn't have gone on. But you know what? God knew what was happening. And in the fullness of time, he brought me back. I had years where I was not on the rails. I was off the rails for Christ. I sinned, but of course there isn't a single person in this room who hasn't. And we were talking earlier about chucking stones. There are no stones or rocks in this room, so don't bother throwing them at me, okay? Because none of us is without sin. But God drew me back in the fullness of time. And God renewed my call to ministry in the fullness of time. I mean, the chances of me and Leo going to an ordination service with Pastor John on the fly, that's something that was not planned. It was no accident. It was in God's plan, in the fullness of his time. Yeah, I took a 25-year detour. But God used that time, even when I was not living for him. This is why God sent Jesus. This is why, guys, okay? This is why God sent Jesus, okay? When God renewed his call on my life, I resisted, okay? And I said, no, I can't do this. I'm a sinner. I'm horrible. I've messed up. I've done terrible things. But that's why God sent Jesus. He knew I was going to do those things. He knew I was going to mess up. He knew things were going to be a wreck. But God sent Jesus so that could be forgiven. God sent Jesus so that he could use me to work for his kingdom. God sent Jesus, and I had to stop resisting what God was trying to do. Mostly because he was making me absolutely miserable because I wasn't doing what he wanted me to do. But this is why God sent Jesus, okay? His redeeming power covered all of my sins. It covers all of your sins. God sent Jesus for you. God sent Jesus to forgive your sins. God sent Jesus so that you can make a difference, so you can be the best you can be, so you can make a difference in his kingdom. Through the people around you. This is why God sent Jesus. Today I stand before you sharing God's word and praying the whole entire time up to this point that you hear his word and not my word. This is just a tiny piece of my story by why God sent Jesus. Every single one of you has a story of why God sent Jesus just for you. He so loved the world. But he sent his son universally for all of us, but he sent his son individually for you as well, and would have sent him only if it was just you. He sent his son to save us. God sent his son Jesus in the fullness of time because he knew when. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows when the fullness of time is. God is at work in everyone's lives. He's at work in everyone's lives, and he's working on a time frame. He knows how things are going to work out universally. He knows how things are going to work out for you personally. And I understand you can sit here, and I've been praying for healing, or I've been praying for release from this financial strain, or I have been praying for restoration in this relationship. But God knows what he's doing, and he is working on a time frame. Not ours. His. I was thinking earlier this week, wouldn't it be great if we knew that this trial was going to start here and end on thus and such a date? Wouldn't that be great? Okay,
this horrible illness is going to start here, and I know it's going to be completely gone by, you know, December 12th, 2017. It doesn't work like that. And it doesn't work like that because if it worked like that, everything would be handed to us on a plate. And the fact of the matter is, this is how we grow faith in Christ. This is how we learn to depend on Him. This is how we become the people that He wants us to be. That's how it works. That's how it works. We have to learn faith. We have to learn our dependence on Christ. We know why God has done what He has done. Because of His deep, unfathomable love for us. As a whole of all creation, as individuals created in His image, you are part of the when and the how and the why of God's great story. You're part of it. I'm excited about that. I'm still excited about that. And your life story is within the middle of this greater story that God is orchestrating, God's redemption of mankind. God sent Jesus in the fullness of time to save the world from certain condemnation, eternal suffering, and hell. He saved us. And God sent His Jesus because He loves us beyond anything that our finite minds can imagine. It's beyond our understanding. This is why God sent Jesus. Let's pray. God, I thank You so much for this day, for this opportunity to know more about You, to understand, Lord, that You are working in Your time, in the fullness of time, and Lord, within the fullness of time of the whole entire universe, Lord, but also in the fullness of time within our individual lives, to do what You need to do, Your good, perfect, and pleasing will in our lives. Father, I pray that You would help us to always live within Your will, to follow obediently after You, and to be more and more like You, and to be the people that You need and want us to be to make a difference for Your kingdom, Lord. We know that You want none to perish, and we know that You have called us to go and make disciples. And Father, I pray that as we, our story, in the middle of Your greater story, would make a difference in the coming of the fullness of time. Thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son. Thank You for loving us beyond anything we can comprehend or understand. And Lord, help us to live daily, never once forgetting that gift of Your love that we sometimes take for granted. Keep us ever mindful and keep us focused on You. Thank You, God, for what You've done and for what You're going to do. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Megan.
Lord God, I thank You for the fact that You sent Your Son Jesus for us. I also thank You that Your Son Jesus is sending us to the same world that He came to. I pray that we would give of ourselves that they might come to know You. Not just that they might become part of the church, but that they might escape hell, that they might enter heaven, and that we might be able to enjoy eternity with each other. I pray, Lord God, that we would be people who live lives that are so winsome, so attractive, that others would desire to know You so that they could live lives that way as well. I thank You for the process You take us through to bring us there. I thank You that even though we don't get to start there or immediately get there when we're saved, that You, day by day, perfect us. Not we ourselves, so that we can't boast, but You are doing that work in our lives, transforming us from people of the kingdom of darkness into people of the kingdom of light. I pray that You would find in us willing partners in being changed, and therefore effective partners in changing the world. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win.
Would you rise for the benediction, God's blessing upon his people? Lord God, I pray that you would bless these, your sons and daughters, with that, first and foremost. The knowledge that you love them as beloved children. I pray, Lord God, that that would sink deep into our very roots. That the fruit that we would bear resemblance to the love you have for us. Help us to love our neighbor as ourselves, but even better, help us to love our neighbors as you have loved us. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us, each and every one of us this week, with an opportunity to do just that. Remind us when somebody is grouchy or irritable or cantankerous, just downright mean, to love them first because you first loved us. And as we do so, Lord, may we bless this world with the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. Go and be the church.
Wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps